14 and verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Everybody say, give me my mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day 45 years before, when God spoke to him, when he said, let's go take the land, we're well able. And the 10 naysayers said, no way. Caleb said, in that day 45 years ago, Joshua, you remember? Because those were the only two who were of age who got to come into the promised land. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall go drive them out. As the Lord hath said. And I want to preach. I don't think I'm going to preach tonight. I think I'm going to preach. And when I feel like God's done, we'll stop. And if we have an altar call, even though it's Wednesday night, we're going to respond to the Word of God. Lord, we're thankful for your Word. Lord, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay, that you would anoint them, Lord God, that I would be able to deliver what I feel in my heart to speak to this church. God, I pray that whether the people are at home or whether they're here in person, God, I pray that your word would go forth with the power and with the boldness that you have given it to me. And I pray that you would speak to every heart, speak to every life, that we would respond to your word, that we wouldn't just hear it, that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears, but Lord, that we would receive it, that we would take it in and take hold of it and make it our own. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I am thankful that my pastor asked me to stand in the pulpit that God has given to him. Matthew 17 and 20 says this. And maybe I shouldn't read this scripture now, but it's up there, so I'm going to. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall. That's present tense. That's not just for the day in which it was spoken. That's for this day. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing. We just sung about it. How great he is. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. The Bible definition of faith comes from Hebrews 11 and 1, which says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Have you ever hoped for something? You know, when Heidi and I were dating, I hoped that July the 12th, 1997, that the Lord wouldn't come back too soon, because I want to get married. I hoped that Eric wouldn't run me off, because he wasn't real thrilled about the fact that we might move to Scotland and take his sister. I think he's maybe forgiven. I haven't really asked, so I'm not even going to look over there. But we hope for a lot of things in this life. We put our hope and we put our confidence in lots of things. And half of the country today is celebrating because the president that they chose took office. And the other half is a little disappointed. And I'm going to stay out of the politics of all of that. But sometimes we need to understand that the things that we hope for can be more than a pipe dream. They're more than just your imagination or a thought that just pops in your head. Oftentimes, in prayer, God gives us a word that sustains us, that keeps us. Because we read about it in Joshua 14. He was reminding, Caleb was reminding Joshua, you remember that day. And you remember the promise. 45 long years ago, we've wandered in the wilderness to all those crazy people who had no faith and who were afraid and who didn't understand that the same God who had just brought them out of bondage could deliver them and set them free and give them all the promises that he had been promising down through the years. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight, it's a pretty simple message. You need to keep on hoping in the promises that God gave you way back in a prayer room, somewhere back in your past. Just because it seems like the night is still dark does not mean that God forgot the promise. First John 5 and 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Anybody in the house been born of God? Anybody received new birth? When he took away all your shame and your sin and your past and your regrets and you came up a new creature. Savannah, one of the most exciting things that has happened in this church in recent days is when you got down here and you came up a new creature. I remember it as clear as day. Not because the water was cold, and it was. It was frigid, freezing cold because the hot water heater of the church went out. Just like the day it was when you got baptized. But it was what happened on the inside. I remember that day like it was yesterday. And I remember the day in a community hall on Duke's Road in Campus Lang, Scotland, when I ran to the altar because I didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. But the pastor talked about it, and a couple of people got it the Sunday before. And I said, I don't know what that was, but I felt it. And I want it. I want it for myself. In fact, I lay in bed, the bed in the same room with my brother, and I said, I don't know what happened at church tonight, but next Sunday, I'm getting it. I was 16 years old. I had no clue. I've been in a dry, dull, boring Baptist church where if you clapped, all the elders looked at you like as if their look could fill you and make you stop. Everybody knows I'm pretty sanguine. I'm pretty outgoing. Usually what I'm thinking pops out of my mouth, and I'm really trying to let God help me with that. I've been in church a long time. But I remember that day where I prayed in tongues until I was done, till I got everything that I needed from God. And I'm laying out on the floor, and my parents are talking to the veteran missionaries who were there on AIM, helping the missionaries who were there, because my parents had the Holy Ghost. But they'd never heard anybody get the Holy Ghost like I got the Holy Ghost. I was back in the days when I had all my vocal cords, and I could really get loud. And I know they've got me turned out real good, Brother Long. They're doing a good job, because they can hear me. And hopefully that means they can hear me online too. But I didn't have to worry about how loud I was going to be. I was going to be loud. That's just... Have you met Cameron? He and I are a lot alike. He's pretty loud. He just wants to tell you everything. But I remember what God did for me in that altar. It was a dirty, smelly, beer in the carpet, cigarette smoke in the atmosphere, community center. But it was the place that God chose to meet me. For the very first time, I felt his presence, and I began to be so excited that I had to let out what was on the inside, what I felt, what God was doing in my life. Never did I dream that all these years later, and I won't tell you how many that is because you'll know how old I am, that I'd be in a pulpit delivering the word just like my pastor did that Sunday. But even though I wasn't very smart, I mean, I was so dumb, my parents told me that too. So you know you got to be dumb. But I had some things that God put on the inside that my parents, that my brother, that those around me didn't see. God began to put some things inside of me that gave me hope that one day God would do something with me. I didn't care what it was. When I came to church, we put all the chairs out. We put all the songbooks out. Back in the days when we had songbooks, Brother Long. And we set up the projector. You guys know what the... This is... We used to have a projector here. There's not one. You know, it's got the transparencies on it. And you write the songs on there. I mean, I know I'm showing my age. We're going back a few years. All you young people that... You don't even have any clue what that is about. Man, I'm really feeling old up here tonight. And just like that, I became my parents or my grandparents or somebody. But I remember God starting to put things in me. And I'd show up to church and I'd show up to prayer meetings. And I wasn't anybody or anything to look at. But I kept reaching out and putting my hand in his hand saying, God, don't let go. Because all I have is in you. I'm not anything, but I have my hope, my confidence, my everything is in you. And though I was just a young boy that didn't really know much about anything, God began to put some things in. And yes, there have been some dark days down through the years since then. Lots of things have gone wrong, but I've held on to his hand. And I've kept on walking, and I've kept on saying, God, I don't know what it is that you have for me to do, but I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on doing what I need to do. I'm going to keep on coming to your house. I'm going to keep on putting my hand in yours because I don't know what else to do. I'm not smart enough to figure it out all by myself. I'm just going to put my hand in yours, and I'm going to trust you. And I might have been that young, because I did, I still struggle with it a little bit. You probably heard some of that already. I still sometimes struggle with saying things I maybe should just not say. But I am who God made me. And I'm thankful that I am who God made me. I'm thankful for every trial, for every struggle, for all the hard places. And some of you who haven't been in church very long may not understand that. But I'm thankful for the hard places, because in the hard places, I learned some big lessons. I learned how to trust God. When I was about to lose my home and I couldn't get a job, God was there. God said, put a big offering in. And I'm like, God, you know I just got fired from my job. You know I don't have any money. You know I'm borrowing money from my in-laws so we can pay the bills. And God said, this is what I want you to do. And I did. And God came through. There's never been a day, you can ask my wife, there's never been a day where there wasn't food on the table. Was it always T-bone and prime rib and all that stuff? No, we still don't do that most of the time. Because I'm a cheapskate and I don't like to spend a lot of money. Well, it depends what it's on. Oh, that's not even in my notes. Man, I need to move along. But God saw something in Caleb way back and in Joshua. You know, just because you have pedigree and you grew up in church doesn't mean that you've got it all together and that God's going to use you. Because sometimes that pedigree gets in the way of what God wants to do in your life. Because you say, don't you know who I am? I've never had that trouble. I didn't need to worry about that. I'm just me. But in just being me, I understood where my strength came from. I knew where my hope was. Joshua and Caleb. Joshua came from the tribe of Judah. And Judah, going back to the original, comes from the word praise and worship. One of the things that I learned very early as a young man in church was how to worship. I couldn't keep, Brother Long, I'm never going to be in the choir. I know that's a surprise to you. I will never be in the choir unless it's the cat's choir. Or the standing on the bagpipes and making an awful noise choir. But I learned how to worship. And in learning how to worship as a young man, God began to do something. God began to help me. God began to take me from where I was and begin to shape me and guide my path so that I could become what it is that he wants me to do. And I may not get to all the message, but I really want to hear somebody to hear me right now. God wants to do something this year with this church. That's weak. I said, God wants to do something this year, 2021. We're already 20 days in. I don't want to waste one more day where I can be fulfilling my purpose in his kingdom. Even though I only had a few hours notice and I had to go to work today, when Pastor said, Brother Duff, will you preach tomorrow night? I said, yes, sir. Because I've learned along the journey that even when I'm not qualified, if I'll say yes, sir, when God asks, or when the man of God asks, or when I read it in his word, God will meet me there, and he'll make up my shortcomings. He'll take up the gap. He'll stand right there and help me to become what it is that he wants for me to be in his kingdom. And it don't matter who you are, if you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I'm getting hot. I'm going to take my coat off. Sister McCoy, don't let Pastor see the video. But I want somebody to hear me. God wants you to understand. Tap yourself on the chest. God's talking to you. That person that's tapping on yourself on the chest. He wants you to fulfill His purpose for your life this year. I have a pretty good idea about some of the things that God wants me to do. But I want to do everything that God asked me to do with excellence. I want Him to get glorified because I'm doing it well. And I'm doing it in His purpose and in His service. I may not have a fancy sermon, and I may not have it lined out just all the points, 1, 2, 3, 4, just like they taught me in Bible school. But I want God to know that I will do whatever He asks. If we're going to get into His perfect will and purpose, we're going to have to learn to worship despite what's going on in our world. If you're sick, worship your way through. Worship your way out. In your worship is your strength. It's the thing that I learned as a 16-year-old kid. I was so excited. I was so excited about what God did for me, what He saw in me, because I was nobody. I was nothing. And He chose me. And He chose each and every one of you. And we're not here by accident. COVID is not an accident. It's an avenue to the purpose of God. It's an avenue if we'll pay attention and we'll plug in where God can see and we can see His promise in our lives. How many of you have unmet promises in your life? Put your hand up around the building. I've got a brother and I've got two sisters that are not in church. So I've got both my hands up and I've got my foot up too, because there's unmet promises. And in your life and in your family, there's unmet promises. God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, if we'll hold on to His promises. Caleb waited 45 years. And this is what God said about Caleb. Numbers 14 and 24. God just got done talking through. Can you back up to verse 23? I know I didn't tell you to put that verse up there. Sorry, I didn't mean to mess you up. This is what God's saying about the other spies and about all the people who could not see a way through. Surely they shall not. Shall not. God said, present tense, until this is done, they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me. See what that says? What our unbelief sometimes can do? We can provoke God by not believing His promises. That's a tale of caution right there. We need to live in the realm of faith. These guys, they lived where we've been in 2019. And it's time. Can I preach it as strong as I feel it? It's time for us to get out of Fear City and move into the faith avenue and promise that God wants to give us. God wants to give us this city. This city. This year. Verse 24. But my servant, hear what God called him? My servant. He was doing the will of God. And 10 other loud mouths stood up and said, no way. But God said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and have followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall, present tense, God's looking down into the future, and he said he shall possess it. Brother and Sister Williams, your seed. Sister McCoy, your seed. Brother Long, your seed. Brother Eric, your seed. Our seed shall see. If we will believe what God's report will say, and if we will put our hope and our confidence in the things that God wants to do and not believe what our flesh begins to say, God will give us a revival the like this church has never seen. I told my in-laws the other day, we were talking, and I was giving them an update because, you know, Brother Milton can't stay home and not know what's going on. And I told him, and I believe it to the very core of who I am. Pastor wants us to get back to 200, Sister McCoy. If we'll plug in and we'll not look around at what everybody else is doing and saying, not listen to what the media is saying, not listen to all that stuff, all that junk, and we'll listen for the voice of God and listen to the promises of God, it would be nothing for us to be in a building program next year because we're packed to the gills and we're running two services and we need to have a third. Come on, somebody hear me. Somebody stand and believe what the word of the Lord is trying to tell us tonight. God wants us to have hope. This may be the darkest day. According to social media, according to the news, according to everybody around you, this may be our darkest day. But the line that's set on a hill shall not be hid. God's want you to step out and step in to the promises of God. God wants to give us revival. God wants to do a new thing at Harvest Ministries. God's putting all the pieces in place. As I've been here, I start to look and I just see those things shift. And when we come into services, especially since we've had Brother Poe in, there's a shift in the atmosphere that I just come to church and I'm just expecting that God's going to do something. And those of you who've been around a while, when Heidi and I were here before, I remember When we went 6 months, this church went 6 months, and we did not have 1 week go by where somebody didn't get baptized or somebody didn't get the Holy Ghost. If we will plug in to what God wants to do in this city, if we will reach out to those that we work with, to those that are our neighbors, to those that we go to school with, young people, we can have a revival that we need to keep the doors open and have all the chairs in the fellowship hall out there just so we can have seats for everybody to sit. And I'm glad I'm not on the board and I don't have to deal with all the headache of trying to do a building program. But I hope we're in a building program by December 31st of this year. I hope we are. I pray that we are. Because if we are, that means we're all tapping into what God wants to do. When we will reach out and take his hand and walk and say, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. But my fear is that though we're clapping and though we're standing up and though we're doing the politically correct things, we need to plug in to what God's trying to speak to us. If you paid attention to what the Brother Poe's been preaching, to what pastor's been preaching, to what was preached a couple weekends ago when our evangelist was in, my good friend, Brother Hagin, God's trying to talk to this church. And we need to pay attention. We need to tap in. We need to believe what God's report is saying. Even though it might be 45 years down the road for Caleb, our victory might just be 45 days away. You all are getting quiet on me now. God can do the miraculous if we will do our part. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And then it continues on in verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God is challenging this church tonight. Be patient and have faith, and you can possess and inherit the promises. Not because I preach the message or I'm in the pulpit, but because he's God. And he's reaching for his people. You know, I'm busy. I get up at 3:45 in the morning. And I go until, usually it's until I sit down, and then I'm out. But that's part of that getting older thing too. But what would happen if we would plug in to the kingdom like that? If every person sitting here tonight would plug in and say, God, I believe that you're going to give us revival, and I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do whatever it takes. If that's leading a small group, teaching a Bible study, I know his mind is probably not going to be singing in the choir, but anything that God asks, you know what? If God asked me and he told me, he'd have to tell you too, because otherwise it just wouldn't work. But I'd go sing in the choir. Brother Wiggins, me and you and my father-in-law, we might get in the choir that day. Because then none of us can carry a tune in a bucket. Each of us have a bucket that's got like so many holes that it's bouncing out all over the place. And you never know what it's going to sound like. But if God asks me, there's no sacred cow. I'm not Hindu. There's no sacred cow. I'm here to say, God, whatever it takes, I put my hand in yours and I want to take this journey. I want to go in and possess the land. I want to fight for it. Because Caleb didn't just say, okay, go wipe out all the enemies and the giants and all that stuff. He said, I'm going to go take it. I'm going to go fight for it. And it's time for Harvest Ministries to fight for it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want revival. I have hope beyond this life. I have hope beyond my ability. I have hope because I have hope in Him. Whatever we need, He'll do it. If we'll say yes. Stand with me. I could preach a while longer, but I want us to take a moment and plug into this. I want every person in the building, I don't want any music, I just want us to plug in to the presence of God and say yes. God, I may have to come back and finish preaching this message because I never really got to any of my notes. I'm on page 2.5. We need to possess this city. We need to possess the promises of God. Whatever those promises are, in your personal life, in our corporate life, we need to possess them. We need to say, God, I'm marching in. We are well able. That needs to be my response back to God. We are well able because our trust is in you. You have given the promises, and we're going to trust you. Let's just talk to the Lord for just a moment. Let's do that together. Let's just lift our voices and begin to cry out to Him. God, we want to possess this city. God, we want to move in and take the land. God, they're your promises. You're well able to give us this city, to give us a great revival. Lord, we ought to come in every service. Somebody's being delivered. That there's a pack of cigarettes being thrown on the altar. That somebody's been delivered from bondages of whatever it might be. God, that you would begin to do a work. That you would birth something in this house tonight. In every heart, in every life, in every person that's in this place. God, we yield to that. God, we yield to your promises. God, we move in. We want to possess this land, this city. God, we're going to fight for it. We're going to get on our knees on Saturday night church prayer, and we're going to cry out for it. God, we're going to come in, and we're going to come into every service and worship for Him. And God, we're going to see you do a great work. Lord, that you're going to bring in new souls, that you're going to bring in a great multitude of souls. Oh, come on, let the spirit of intercession break out. Let it move in. Let it, God, move across your soul and begin to help you to intercede for the future of this church. Somebody needs to cry out. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We yield to your purpose. We yield to your plan. God, we give ourselves to your kingdom, to the promises that are yet unseen. God, we give ourselves to your promises, to what you want to do in our midst. To all the lost loved ones that are not yet here. For every backslider, for every lost soul that's in this city. God, we lift them up to you right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody needs to get a yes in their spirit. Yes, Lord. I'm saying yes. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it might make me uncomfortable, God, I'm saying yes. I want your purpose more than my purpose, more than my plan, more than my priorities. God, I want your will to be first. Oh, let that break out. Let it break out. Jesus, I want us to pray for something. I want us to pray for every plan that our leaders have been putting in place for this coming year. I want to pray that we won't do anything that God doesn't want us to do, but that we won't be afraid to step in and do whatever God asks us to do. And if Pastor comes up here and God's given him something, we're going to say yes. We're going to get right behind you, Pastor. We're going to put my, I'm going to put my shoulder to the plow, and I'm going to keep on going right with you. I want us to pray that and just take a few moments to pray for that tonight, that God would take every plan that's been made, every dream that's been dreamed by our pastor and by our leaders, and let God do the miraculous. Oh, come on, let's do that tonight. God, in your name, God, I believe that you're trying to stir this church to receive the promises. God, I pray that every plan, that every dream, that every prayer that's been prayed, Lord God, that you would lead us, that you would guide us to hungry souls, to the promises, to the plans that you have for this city. God, I pray no matter what it is, that we would follow your plan, that we would say yes to your purpose, to your vision, to your dream for this city. God, we can have revival if we'll put our hand and our hearts and our shoulders to the plow and move right along with what you want to do in this place. And we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you all glory for what you're going to do. Oh, let's lift our voices in praise and give him some worship tonight. I believe God's going to do something that's going to be birthed from this service. Jesus, glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to dismiss, but if you need to go, I'm going to allow you to do that. But if you feel that you want to stay and pray and cry out to God, we can lower those main lights and we can take a few minutes and just cry out to God. If we're serious about having revival, it may mean we get home a little later on a Wednesday night, or we're going to two services on a Sunday or three services on a Sunday. And Brother Long, you might have to sing your voice out and recover on Monday and Tuesday so that you can come back and do it all again on Wednesday. And then you're going to have so many singers to help you that you might even get a Sunday off. But whatever it is, I want God to have his way in this congregation. And I know I'm not the pastor. I don't pretend to be. I don't want his job. God didn't call me to be that. But I've had this unction deep in my heart all day, and I didn't know what God was going to do, and I really didn't get to much of the message, but I fell after God, and I wanted to respond to that, and I want to give you a chance to respond to that. So if you want to stay and pray, we'll turn the lights down. If you want to be dismissed, you can. But if there are others praying, please be respectful of that.